I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Kreisler.
And this is the final edition of Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire.
The final edition is 1 year old today. Join us for this special anniversary edition of the Final Edition Radio Hour as we take a fond look back at the stories and people we have covered in the last 12 months.
This special anniversary episode of the Final Edition Radio Hour is brought to you by Second Thoughts Family Clinic.
This Mother's Day, why not get your mom something she's wanted for years? An abortion. She said it over and over and over and over and over and over. How sorry she is that she didn't get that abortion when she could. Well, it's not too late. Second Thoughts Family Clinic can give your mom her freedom and her lost youth with RU48, the Decades After pill. Even though you're 30 years old, and your mom is technically in her 124th trimester, imagine how grateful she'll be for your thoughtful gift.
I don't believe it. Now I can go back in time and spend my 20s traveling.
Well, I'm glad you're finally satisfied about something. Hey, I'm fading away.
So are my stretch marks.
I love you, Mom.
Yeah, and you have some good qualities as well.
Come on. Take your mom to Second Thoughts Family Clinic, because she gave you life, and she didn't want to.
When Donald Trump withdrew from the race for the White House in May of 2011, only the Final Edition had the real story. We're at the Republican Crooked Casino Operator Symposium in Reno, Nevada, where Donald Trump is giving a profanity-packed speech. The tubby reality TV host has been getting deafening applause from the wildly intoxicated crowd.
It was me telling Obama what a fucking pussy he was that forced him into ordering the hit on Osama. That's Bin Laden, in case anyone's getting confused. Let me tell you, if anyone pulled the trigger that wasted that towelhead cocksucker, it was me.
Oh my God, Trump's much-dyed and tortured hair just slid off his wrinkled pate, apparently of its own volition, and has fallen to the rostrum.
Trust me, I run the fucking U.S. government like I run my own fucking business.
Without his hair, New York's most notorious con man bears a remarkable resemblance to an enormous, fleshy penis.
No, listen, wait. I'll fucking put it back on, see?
Liquored up, crooked, and Republican they might be, but these attendees are leaving in droves. Herb Loomis, I see from your nameplate that you run a crooked riverboat casino in Louisiana. Why are you leaving?
Goddamn! Like seeing your grandpappy naked for the first time. Excuse me, I got a Ralph.
Hi there, Buford. You own a meth factory and floating craps game in western Kentucky. How do you feel about the Trump candidacy now?
What's he mean, run the government like he runs his business? The government's already a debt-crippled Ponzi scheme kept afloat by China. Right, honey pie?
Yeah, but he did say he'd call Hugo Chavez a motherfucking cocksucker to his face. I'm gonna miss that.
It's like his hair said, Trump, you're fired.
After a night of intense debate with his own reflection, the egomaniacal king of Manhattan eyesores, now an eyesore himself, announced he will not seek the presidency in 2012. And of course, 2011 was also the year the world ended. Reverend Harold Camping, the founder of Family Radio, has asserted that the world will end next Saturday evening, May 21st, 2011, at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. That's good news for bars, brothels, and drug dealers across the Bible Belt. With Judgment Day less than a week away, Baptists and evangelicals are seizing the opportunity to have sex with that guy in Parts and Service or that redhead in Piggly Wiggly they've lusted after for years. And they're getting trashed on legal and illegal substances while they do. As one Atlanta woman cavorting naked with two choir members in the baptismal font of her church put it, Honey, we're part
partying like there's no tomorrow, because come Saturday, there won't be no tomorrow. Want a J for JC? Ow!
Sex, booze, and drugs with Judgment Day just around the corner? If you believe in hell, isn't that just plain crazy? No, says Reverend Humbert Ganglion, a well-known Judgment Day dater.
Given fundamentalist belief in predestination, it makes perfect sense. On Saturday, around the happy hour, those who are saved will be raptured, snatched bodily up to heaven by Jesus. Knowing the day and the hour of their deliverance, they've already had their sins forgiven them. They're free to do anything they like between now and then.
If it's a sin, it's pre-forgiven?
Absolutely. Most all preachers and pastors agree with this theology. They're leading orgies in megachurches across the region, praising Jesus, even as they climax multiple times, wasted on cocaine and ecstasy.
Randy Wright is a Pentecostal deacon and a senior snake handler. We caught up with him at a pre-rapture orgy in the local Pentecostal church of Axe Handle, Alabama.
We are saved.
Can I get an amen?
I can fornicate all I want and still be raptured.
Randy, what is that substance?
This here's marijuana. Dang, that's hard to snort.
Randy, I don't mean to be personal, but many of your co-religionists are quite large.
Well, we're members of Pat Robertson's 777 Club. Amen. We all pray and strive to weigh the magic number 777 pounds. I'm stuck on 666, which is the mark of the beast. But it don't matter now.
Like other white, morbidly obese Christians whom angels will snatch up to heaven May 21st, possibly at the risk of an angelic hernia, Randy's having no trouble hooking up with similarly full-figured partners. Randy, I see you're comfortable fornicating with both genders?
Until I heard I'd be raptured and began to party down, I didn't even know what a bisexual was. I thought it meant someone who bought sex. Well, for years I'd been tempted by what the Bible calls lying with a fellow man, but I didn't know how to be gay. My buddy Brian here showed me how.
We took our time, but we got there.
Yep. When people our size fornicate, it takes a while figuring out what goes where. Only trouble is, now I've been gay a few times, I ain't so sure I want to be raptured.
Amen to that. Praise the Lord and pass the butt plug.
My heart feels funny.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
I'm a $65 million circus tragedy.
A lead producer of Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark, Frederick Pigeon, has told investors in the Misfortune Plague Broadway musical that its title character, Spider-Man, will step aside.
Spider-Man will be replaced by Batman.
Spider-Man.
Really? Again,
not why I invested.
I want out.
Well, I wanted Aquaman.
Spider-Man was never right for the part. It was too icky. What with all that slimy web, the radioactive blood and all? Broadway audiences will accept a lion or a beast in the lead of a musical, but not a bug.
The $1.9 billion production, the most expensive in Broadway history, will be completely revamped and retitled Batman, Turn Off the Dark. Sources camping out in the theater district said that the producers had tried to get Superman to step in, but were turned down by the Man of Steel.
Why? Because the stunts are too tough.
Batman's agent, Marjorie Ratzkoff.
Fortunately, Batty is between sequels, and he's always wanted to sing, but no one has ever asked him before.
Silver Heels is an embittered former cast member with a grudge against one of the tertiary producers who demanded that she sleep with him.
That heartless bastard told me that 50 quid, the British rapper, has been called in to rework the score by Bono and The Edge. You know, adapt it to the cast change and give it a more contemporary edge than those old geezers can.
Mr. Quid could not be reached for confirmation. He's vacationing in Mustique with Mrs. Quid.
Doomsday preacher Harold Camping returned to the airwaves today, blaming his failed rapture forecast on a missile strike that nearly blew Jesus out of the sky.
I didn't miscalculate anything. The Lord was right on schedule, 6 p.m. Pacific time, ready to snatch up his followers in the rapture. Then he was picked up over U.S. airspace by NORAD's radar defense system.
Seconds later, according to Camping, Homeland Security scrambled fighter jets and launched surface-to-air missiles.
I was shown a vision of the terrible calamity. An entire choir of seraphim was wiped out. Jesus was shaken up some, but not seriously injured, thank him. I saw that in a Polaroid photograph, which appeared miraculously on my iPhone late Sunday, right after my vision. The Lord told me he could have proceeded with the second coming, but decided to abort the mission and try again after the NBA playoffs.
White House and Pentagon officials initially dismissed Camping's claims, but later changed their tune. White House Press Chief Jay Carney.
We now acknowledge that U.S. forces might have fired defensively at a UCO, an unidentified celestial object.
Was it Jesus Christ, our Savior, coming in glory to judge the living and the dead?
No comment.
President Obama's approval ratings have plummeted on news that he tried to take out the Savior of all mankind, possibly to please Allah.
Thorbjørn Jagland, chairman of the Nobel Peace Prize Committee, announced at an impromptu press conference today that the committee had asked President Obama to consider returning his Nobel Peace Prize medal immediately.
We asked really nicely because, to tell the truth, we were a little scared that he might send Navy SEALs to shoot us in the eye. We also asked him to return the really nice case the prize came in.
Chairman Jagland, has the committee ever before asked for the return of a peace prize?
Nay, not even from a damnable war criminal like Kissinger.
Then what is the reason?
Well, the 10% drawdown in U.S. troops in Afghanistan the president announced last week capped a period of non-peace prize winner type behavior. Committee person Ava, you have the details?
Yeah. Guantanamo is still open. There's the bombing of the Libya. There's blowing Bin Laden away instead of putting him on trial. So a few U.S. troops go home, but the U.S. will occupy Afghanistan until 2014 and beyond. Don't even get us started on the Yemen.
Why did the committee award Obama the coveted prize in the first place?
Oh, in 2009, he made a series of speeches in the first months of his presidency, which convinced us that he was, in our words, creating a new climate of the multilateral diplomacy of dialogue and negotiations as instruments for resolving international conflicts and a vision of a world free of the nuclear arms.
Boy, oh boy, did we regret that press release. But you see, the day we voted on it was the start of Norway's annual Aqua Vita tasting festival. All of us committee members were legless drunk. I remember it so well.
Holy meatloaf! I am totally toasted!
Play his Cairo speech again.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Oh.
One based on mutual interest and mutual respect.
I love him.
Oh, it's a true angel of peace. He's truly, truly a vision.
We must say openly to each other the things we hold in our hearts.
A black man leading America and the world.
There must be a sustained effort to listen to each other.
He's beautiful.
He's like Gandhi reincarnated.
Into a new era of peace.
Hope and change. Goodwill.
To respect one another. To seek common ground.
I feel like I'm an 18-year-old student again.
Ah, me too. At the beautiful, occasionally sunny University of Bergen. I am crying for the joy.
More aquavit.
The only resolution is for the aspiration.
Do you think President Obama will return the prize?
Look, we're not going to be pills about it. We still basically really like Mr. Obama. If he wants to send it back in a plain brown parcel by regular mail, fine. To save him embarrassment. But guess what? Things could get nasty if we don't see it by next fall when we announce the new Peace Prize winner.
What will you do then?
You must excuse us now, as it is the start of Norway's annual Aquavit Tasting Festival. Eva, hit me with the liquid caraway, babe!
The White House had no comment. It later announced an aggressive new covert CIA initiative to identify and apprehend Al-Qaeda operatives in Scandinavia and shoot them in the eye.
Christmas Eve, pure and white and right, just like baby Jesus on that blessed silent night. I spied an 8-foot Norway spruce and chopped that sucker down, threw back a shot of eggnog and drove on into town. Pulled into the 5 and 9 for mistletoe and holly. The clerk said happy holidays, which made me less than jolly. It seems some have forgotten just how this all begun. So you can keep your happy holidays, you godless heathen scum. Happy Jesus Christmas.
Christmas, everyone. God bless us, everyone.
The final edition was born with a once-in-a-lifetime story, the long-anticipated final edition of the New York Times. Stone Peck reported the breaking news from the New York Times building on 8th Avenue in New York City.
The New York Times building is currently on fire as editors, reporters, interns, and personal masseurs flee the building. The scene is one of controlled panic, or perhaps polite rioting.
Is the cause of the fire known?
The fire department believes the owners of the New York Times, the Sulzberger family, torched the place for the insurance.
Jewish lightning, huh?
The Sulzbergers are Presbyterians. One thing is certain. The New York Times, chronicler of world history for three centuries, the global definer of news, the cultural arbiter of the civilized world, has kicked the bucket, bought the farm, croaked, snuffed it flatlined. This paper is, as it were, dead.
What was the reason for its demise?
Many feel it was the dysfunctional family at its helm. Historian and conservative media squeeze Neil Ferguson says, quote, "The Times' decline was not unlike that of the Austro-Hungarian Empire." The newspaper did its best to modernize, like letting its columnists use the word fuck. The thinking was, fuck worked for the New Yorker, why not the Times? David Brooks' column was the first use of fuck in the New York Times. David, read us some of that.
We spend a fuck a lot of our time debating political events and the choices our fucking leaders make. But fuck me, the most important changes are shifts in cultural ideas and mentalities that people don't even fucking notice until after the fact. For example, in 1960, it would have been fucking absurd for colleges to have co-ed dorms. A short time later, no one gave a fuck.
Wow. That must have increased your readership, David.
Not by a single eyeball.
How are other New York Times columnists reacting?
I have Tom Friedman on the line from D.C. Tom, how do you feel about the death of your newspaper?
Stone, the day of reckoning is waving its white flag from the caboose. And that white flag's name is Fahad. Fahad, 26, runs a souvlaki stand in Washington, D.C. And like his American-born counterpart, he enjoys listening to music on his iPod and often communicates with his friends by typing on the tiny keys of his cell phone. But Fahad is as different as night and day from his American-born counterpart Tom, who is white while he is dark-skinned, in an important way. Fahad has a job. And Fahad won't give me one.
Mr. F., I don't need anyone to provide analysis of the Middle East for my customers while they eat their pitas. Get away from my stand, or I'll call the cops.
2 weeks ago, in one last desperate attempt to stay afloat, the Times declared itself tax-exempt on the grounds that it was a religion. Its IRS brief argued, first, the New York Times has a hermetically sealed, tone-deaf, and ossified hierarchy. Second, the Times promotes a fixed set of beliefs and a dogmatic version of truth. And third, the Times presides over a time-honored Sunday ritual, buying the Sunday edition along with the bagels. The paper was denied an exemption.
Tragic. Wrap this up for us, Stone.
I flagged down one of the Times delivery trucks. Notorious throughout New York City for attempted vehicular homicide, it has the final edition of the Times. You want to know why this paper croaked? Check these headlines. Paul Krugman. Is Paul Krugman too big to fail? While fire trucks try to save the torched building, the public editor writes, when arson is justified. And how about the softcore T magazine becoming the hardcore P magazine? Tasteful porn for the lusty New York Times reader. Courtesans near you, East Harlem's disintermediated pimps. The New York Review of boobs. The content of the Times final edition is mostly everything must go ads for Times memorabilia. Judith Miller's dominatrix gear, David Carr's old bong, Abe Rosenthal's truss, Howell Rain's hip flask collection, Jason Blair's coke spoons, all available for pennies. One thing that may be of value, though, is the renaming rights to Times Square.
This
This is the New York Times publisher Arthur Oak Sulzberger Jr. calling from an undisclosed location. The renaming rights to Times Square are mine. Anything of value is mine.
That says it all. Back to you, Toots.
This special anniversary episode of the Final Edition Radio Hour was performed by Barry Lank, Kevin Janis, Darby Worley, Bruce Cherry, and Tony Hendra. It was written by Peter Sagal, Lou Grossberger, Barry Lank, Roy Rivenberg, and Tony Hendra. Merry Jesus Christmas, written and produced by Grant and Lee, featuring Uncle Sam's. Visit thefinaledition.com regularly for daily doses of satire with teeth. The Final Edition Radio Hour is produced by Jeff Kreisler and Tony Hendra and edited and engineered by Greg Russ. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of the Final Edition, LLC, copyright 2012.